This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Say yes to Pure Leaf Tea and free gas for a year only at True North Convenience Stores. When it comes to quality, say yes to the delicious taste of real brewed Pure Leaf Tea. True North stores are stocked with your favorite flavors like unsweetened, extra sweet, and raspberry. For a limited time, enter for a chance to win free gas for a year. Check the True Rewards app for details or download the mobile app from the Apple or Google Play stores. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Cody and Gold back here at Rally House Oak Park location till 2 o'clock, getting you set for the big game on Sunday. Of course, this is the spot as the Chiefs get set to go back-to-back-to-back. It means you got to get out to your local Rally House. They have the best selection of Chiefs gear, from those official postseason styles to some of the hottest Chiefs women's fashion and the best assortment of headwear, some home decor as well, to support your Chiefs. And if you come out till 2 o'clock, you can see us broadcasting live. Say hello. We appreciate it. It's always good to hear from you guys that listen to the show. Plus, register to win a $250 gift card to Rally House as well. I did see some news during the break, though, before we get Brian Briscoe on the show. At one book, the Chiefs-Eagles game down to a pick'em.
Ooh.
At one book. Now, it's still at FanDuel, it's still 1.5. I was trying to see where the consensus lines are. Here we go. So ESPN Bet is the one book that for a brief period of time, it looks like it's now back up, for a brief period of time moved it to a pick'em. Currently, though, multiple books have moved this down to 1 point. It's still 1.5 at FanDuel, but BetMGM, it's 1.5. DraftKings, 1.5. But at Caesars, ESPN Bet, both have it down to 1. Those are the only ones that are legal here. There's some other markets, books that aren't legal in Kansas, like Bally, et cetera, that are down to 1. So we had someone on earlier in the week saying this weekend, Eagles money's going to come in. It's only Friday. By the time we get to kickoff, maybe this thing gets to a
good
crew pick'em. It's already that way.
I love it when he's an underdog.
Yeah, and I see the Get Up crew, all of them picked the Eagles. So I'm with you. I kind of love when this starts to happen. All right,
Yep. Let's
welcome in Josh Briscoe, our Chiefs contributor for 96.5 The Fan. He is presented by Blue Cross and Blue Shield of Kansas City. Discover the benefit of blue. I guess I'll just get your reaction to that. Are you surprised? You think this thing will end up being a pick'em by the time we get to kickoff?
I'm a little surprised. I don't think it should be a pick'em, but maybe I shouldn't be, like, literally surprised, because this type of thing tends to happen, and we can get into some of the specifics, but this is something that I was really kind of marinating on yesterday, where I feel like, listen, the Eagles clearly have plenty of paths to winning this football game. If you play this game 10 times, I think you have to assume that each team wins at least 3 of them, right? Now, maybe it's 6-4, 7-3, something like that. But what I think we've started to do a little bit in all of this conversation about how this is the best Eagles team of all time or the best team the Chiefs have ever played or whoever, I think there's a little bit of self-fulfilling analysis there to kind of build this case for Philadelphia on a few key matchups that could go their way, but I don't think that this game should be a pick'em. I don't even really think it should be a single point.
I guess I'll ask you what you think about the Eagles. I didn't realize until later this week that Alex and I were in the minority. I thought the Eagles team 2 years ago was better. I didn't realize that wasn't common thought. What is it about this year's Eagles team that they like better? I don't think their offensive line is as good. Saquon, they're just like, well, Saquon's here, so they're better. Like, I don't know what else besides that.
Yeah, I mean, I think that there is quite a bit of star power. There is quite a bit of, like, what's the factor that we've seen make the Eagles better this year? That's all been Saquon. The defensive line gets a lot of credit, and again, rightfully so. We need to talk about that in, like, some detail here, because I think it's hugely important, even more so than in an average game. But you can, like, remember how good that Eagles pass rush was, right? Like, this is a younger group. This has Jalen Carter, who's very, very good, but also, folks, not the best defensive tackle in this football game, and it's weird that he's getting discussed like he is Chris Jones, because he's not right now. A very good player, just not Chris Jones. I think it's very, very close, and ultimately, like, this is how it ends up going pretty frequently. Ultimately, I think it just might depend on if Jalen Hurts is as good as he was in that last Super Bowl. And I don't think he's going to be, because that's the best game I think we've still ever seen from Jalen Hurts. He was spectacular, and it still wasn't quite enough. I don't know if they're getting that performance out of him. To your point about the offensive line, not quite as good, and also has been obviously banged up. They've got a couple extra weeks of rest before this game, of course. But it is strange to me to at least make the blanket declaration, like, this is clearly the better team, because I don't think it's nearly that clear cut.
When you mentioned the defensive line, I guess, do you view this as it's going to look maybe like that first half of the Houston game, where obviously against elite-level defensive players, they had to kind of, like, readjust a couple of times to find their rhythm? That all comes back to the, like, I guess, do you think it's as good as that defensive line, or why are you looking at that so heavily for this matchup?
I do think it's as good as that Texans line, and I think the matchups in specific are the things that are going to end up moving the needle here. So we've talked about Jalen Carter. I'm sure you guys have talked about him a ton this week, but I didn't even realize this till yesterday. He almost always ends up on the right side of the offense, the left side of the defense, in terms of the three tech on the left side. So that's Trey Smith all day, right? He might end up on Caliendo here and there, but that's not something they have been doing with Jalen Carter. So you get kind of a strength versus strength, and it's a chance for Trey Smith to either make some more money or maybe lose a little bit of money. He gets one more show before hitting free agency. That's going to be an excellent battle. The interesting thing is on the edge, obviously Joe Tooney has been good there throughout this playoff run and since he's moved to left tackle, but he hasn't been great. He's just been really stable, and it's been very impressive. So we talk about him like he's been, you know, an all-pro left tackle, when really he is the best guard in football, but he's an okay tackle. The interesting thing is the reason that he's a guard, not a tackle, is by and large because of his arm length. And especially, think about the tackles that Andy Reid has coveted. We're talking about dudes with super long arms. Well, you put opposite Joe Tooney, you give me Josh Sweat with his absolute octopus tentacle arms that he has, and that is a matchup that favors, like, we're literally talking about arm length here, but this is where Super Bowls end up coming from. That is a matchup that favors the Eagles with a measurable thing that has given Joe Tooney problems. A pass rusher who can extend on him, and now he has incredible technique, but Tooney can't get his hands up there if he can't literally reach that far. So that's one very specific matchup where if you tell me Joe Tooney has an excellent, excellent day at left tackle, the Chiefs win this game by 2 touchdowns. If you tell me that Joe Tooney and Mike Caliendo have a bottom 10% outcome day, I think the Eagles probably win this game. So it's just so vital, but we're talking about a guard playing out of position and, like, maybe the second or third kind of most well-known pass rusher on this Eagles defense. That's what I think it's going to end up coming down to in a lot of ways.
Briscoe, we know certainly Barkley has to have a huge game, in my opinion, for the Eagles to have a chance to win this game. What about on the Chiefs rushing side? Like, do you think Kareem Hunt has to have a certain benchmark or combination of Pacheco and Kareem Hunt have to have a certain yardage total? Was it just, hey, get the timely third down conversion runs? What do you think they need out of their running game? Because so much of the attention is on what the Eagles need out of theirs.
Yeah, efficiency for me. I think more the latter there. I really don't care what the stat lines look like for it is Hunt then Pacheco for me. And in a lot of ways, it might be Hunt and then Perine and then Pacheco. And that's not even Pacheco's fault. That's just where I think Perine fits in this offense. But ultimately, I don't care how many carries they get or even really what their yards per carry is. What matters to me, like you just referred to, is first of all, getting ahead of the sticks on first down. If you run the ball on first down, you gotta get me 4 yards here. Like I don't want to see the Chiefs living in 2nd and 8 that turns into 3rd and 8. Mahomes is incredible on third downs. Travis Kelce is incredible on third downs, but you don't want to be in that spot, obviously. So I think early down success and then especially those short yardage conversions. When you do put the football in Kareem Hunt's hands, he has to get what you expect him to get. And now that we're in full playoff mode, we've seen Andy Reid be a little bit more aggressive in this way. If it's 3rd and 3 and Kareem Hunt gets you 2 yards on 3rd and 3, I'm out there on 4th and 1 ready to do it again or pull out one of your Patrick Mahomes on the move plays that seems to always move those chains. I think the Chiefs have a chance to live in pretty short down and distance situations on Sunday. And if they do that, I think you're going to see the offense look smoother and then you still have the chance for the explosives, which is certainly where Patrick Mahomes and Xavier Worthy want to connect.
sometimes it's just like just trying to decide if enough attention is being paid to something. I understand the Eagles' corners are good, but I would think if under a normal circumstance, if you said super young and rookie corners against Patrick Mahomes and a group of wide receivers he really trusts, that seems not favorable for Philadelphia, even if you think they're incredibly talented. Do you think there's a youth aspect that could burn Philadelphia in this, or that's something Andy Reid, certainly, with 2 weeks worth of prep, can take advantage of?
Yeah, absolutely. I think the Chiefs have that advantage really on both sides of the ball with both Reed and Spags and the veteran players, the familiar players on both sides who've been in this scheme for a long period of time now, with, again, like Worthy being a clear exception. And, you know, Hopkins is new in the system and has gotten less and less work. But ultimately, yeah, I think that's a good call. It also I don't know if it's going to look like the Texans game in this way, but with the way that the Eagles do want to play defense, and you think about a Texans team that trusted their corners but did not have what they needed in the middle of the field, and the Eagles are good in the middle of the defense too, of course.
Sure.
But when you think about how the Texans did it, it was, we're going to let our corners run with your receivers, and then you got to beat us with Travis Kelce over the middle, death by a million paper cuts. And then the Chiefs did do that, running that through Travis Kelce. And then Buffalo keys on Travis Kelce and says, somebody else has to beat us. And then the Chiefs win that way. I think with Vic Fangio, I think that there's probably going to be a little bit more commitment to slowing down Xavier Worthy, or trying to not let Hollywood Brown get behind the defense. And we could see another big Travis Kelce game just by the nature of kind of all of that coming together of the Eagles wanting to lean on their corners, and then Travis Kelce being the elder statesman on the field, knowing where to be in the biggest moments. I really do think that could all shake out. The Chiefs should still try to test these corners. I don't think they ought to just give it up the way they did, like, for Derek Stingley, which is understandable. These guys aren't exactly at that level. So I do think they ought to be testing for those deep plays and trying to hit a few of them. But if they can take the whole game 5-6 yards at a time with Kareem Hunt and Travis Kelce, they will happily 3-peat on the back of Kareem Hunt and Travis Kelce.
We're talking to Joshua Briscoe, our Chiefs contributor for 96.5 The Fan. He's on the Pheasant Fest hotline. National Pheasant Fest and Quail Classic is coming to the Kansas City Convention Center March 7th to the 9th. Visit pheasantfest.org. MVP, always a fun conversation. Give me the case for somebody on the Chiefs other than Mahomes. Like, what's the path look like for them to win MVP? Is there a path?
I mean, I think Travis Kelce's got to be – I haven't looked at the odds. I have to imagine that he's next.
He's like 15-1, 11-1. He's Kelce the next highest Chief.
Yeah, that makes sense. I think you give him like 14 catches for 112 yards and two or three touchdowns or something like that, where you could say, like, man, maybe it's a big yak play in there somewhere where you go, look, I mean, Travis Kelce at age 35 just turns back the clock and he's the MVP. I think if the Chiefs win, which, you know, we'll get to, but I think Mahomes makes the most sense. Kelce's the next. I think, I don't know, is there a path for Chris Jones to just have like an absolutely dominant game? And
there's a narrow path, I think it's even, a very narrow path, but yeah,
even then, better be a scoop and score.
If they win 19-17, it's probably going to come with a Patrick Mahomes fourth quarter drive that wins it, right? Like,
exactly.
So I think that you could go that direction. Kareem Hunt isn't going to have the type of game that's going to put him in that conversation. If he has three touchdowns, it might be on 3 2-yard carries. So I think it's got to be Mahomes, Kelce, and then maybe you get a big day from one of the DBs or something with a couple of turnovers, but we're talking about really narrow paths now.
Can I mention one thing about the MVP that sways it towards Travis Kelce? 20% of the vote every year for Super Bowl MVP is fan vote. You trying to tell me Swifties don't play some sort of number here? 20% of the vote?
That's a reasonable percentile of the voting public. No, I'm with that. I think that strengthens the Kelce 2 case.
That's why he has the second best odds of any Chiefs player this game to win it.
Yeah. And I can't see anybody catching passes from Patrick Mahomes and not having Mahomes be the MVP. It's a hard one for me to overcome. But I would be kind of interested to see what that would look like. Honestly, anything that results in a Chiefs player winning MVP, I'll take.
For sure. Yeah, Kelce's the only player that I you could talk yourself into just because of what Cody said a little bit also. Just if it's the... It's weird. Like, it would have to almost be he breaks multiple tackles on the way to a game-winning touchdown that he has no business scoring on, though. You know what I mean? Because if he has 150 yards, that means Mahomes has 150 yards and two touchdowns.
Well, he has like 300 yards.
You know, but he's getting the credit for 150. It would almost take on the Super Bowl MVP market, it would almost take Kelce having to break three tackles that he has no business breaking.
But it's just like the narrative thing. Maybe it's his final game and the fan vote.
Yeah.
Like, if I'm voting for any chief, it's outside of that. Let's mention at least Jalen Carter and some of the other names. Give me another name, Briscoe, that you're worried about on Philadelphia. I know the three or four everyone's going to mention. What happens if Saquon goes off or Jalen Hurts or Jalen Carter? We know the guys on the list. Who's somebody that you're like, that guy concerns me a little bit, could cause a problem?
I can't do a lot better than Josh Sweat versus Joe Tooney is my matchup to watch of a guy who's a little bit down that list. I will say that Devontae Smith in the slot against Shamari Connor should probably have gotten more conversation this week. And I'm patting myself on the chest, hand up on that one, because that has been a place where the Chiefs have had some issues. Also, they had issues with the tight end, and obviously Dallas Goedert is a very, very good one. It seems like that may have been sort of beaten out of the defense a little bit. Maybe Spags found some answers there for the middle of the field. But Devontae Smith versus Shamari Connor is the matchup we haven't talked very much about. A.J. Brown is an unbelievable wide receiver, but the connection with Jalen Hurts has not been as smooth as anybody wanted it to be, right? Trent McDuffie, Jalen Watson. McDuffie's not a very good matchup for Brown. Watson physically makes a little more sense there. Both of them are very good. I love that. But I'm very curious if McDuffie, or basically, will McDuffie and Watson be on Brown and Smith, or is there going to be a sacrifice of, all right, Devontae Smith in the slot versus Shamari Connor? Good luck. Shamari Connor still covers like a safety when he's playing man coverage in the slot. I don't love that. So that's my one on the Eagles offense, where Devontae Smith is clearly a well-known name. The specific matchup when he's in the slot against Shamari Connor, I think, is advantage Eagles right now.
All right, so give me a score. How does this thing play out on Sunday?
I've got 30-24 Chiefs right now. That's without them having to have everything go right offensively, but it still needs to look like the offense has looked throughout the playoffs, back on Christmas, and throughout that stretch. I think this Chiefs defense is going to hold its own. I do think you're going to get an A.J. Brown touchdown over Trent McDuffie, which is, you know, just because Trent McDuffie's not built like A.J. Brown. He'll be in his hip pocket, but you'll probably get one of those. Maybe it's Jalen Hurts moving the chains on a few instances that feel back-breaking at moments. I don't think Saquon Barkley is going to single-handedly beat this football team. Explosive runs for him are the most dangerous thing. It's something he's able to do that a lot of running backs aren't able to do. But ultimately, I would take a 24-point game from the Chiefs defense without batting an eye. And I really think the Chiefs should be able to overachieve that mark on offense, with the offense looking as smooth as it has. Two more weeks to prepare. Obviously, history is on the table, but the Chiefs are comfortable in these situations. Mm-hmm. A ridiculous percentage of this team has never had a season not end in this way. I'm sure both of these teams are going to be amped. I'm sure nerves of various types will be prevalent. But Patrick Mahomes is like literally built for these exact moments. And I'm going to take the better quarterback that I believe makes the Chiefs a better team. It's not a bet on Mahomes over the greatest roster ever assembled. I think the Eagles are very good. I can live with that. But I think the Chiefs are very good, and they have the best quarterback of all time. So I'll take Kansas City.
Josh Briscoe, our Chiefs contributor for 96.5 The Fan throughout the football season. We appreciate you coming on, man. Maybe we'll check in next week, especially if the Chiefs do get the win, do get the three-peat, but we appreciate you coming on.
If they lose, I'll just give you my March Madness bracket. I know it's not out yet.
There you go. That's Joshua Briscoe. He's presented by Blue Cross and Blue Shield of Kansas City. Discover the benefit of blue.
I know it just sounds like an oversimplification, because you've done a bunch of radio hits, so have I. And I'm sure we'll go on a couple more stations tonight. But they have Mahomes. I know that sounds like an oversimplification. I will say, his point on Devonta Smith, as I pointed out, Devonta Smith has played three games against Kansas City, and he has cooked them in all three games. And even more so than he's like, what happens if Connor ends up on them? I have the fears, like, what if it's the one snap Nazee Johnson is covering him? Because I can borderline guarantee you the ball will go to Devonta Smith if it's Nazee Johnson. Jalen Watson, this week, in media availability, said he is capable of playing a full game at corner if that's what Spags wants. But part of me thinks they'll do it the same way they did in the previous two games, which is in the early part of the game, you'll probably see Nazee Johnson or you'll see Connor, because they want Jalen Watson available for it's the fourth quarter and they got to guard Devonta Smith. And they don't want to risk whatever thing could maybe happen in the early portion of the game and the feel-out portion of the game while they're doing it. So, like, if you're asking me from a betting end, I'd be like, you should be looking at Devonta Smith's first half numbers, not even the full game. But, yeah, he's a dangerous player for them who could cause a matchup. I think it'll be high-scoring again. Like, if you just ask me how this game gets played, I think it's high-scoring again. I think these teams can score. They've proven they can score against each other. There's matchups on offense that I think favor both of the offenses.
Yep.
But in the end, it's like the Chiefs are just going to spread it out and grind you down and do 8-9 play drives where they get it to 6 different people, and that's how they're going to score all day.
We'll, of course, have our official predictions coming up in the 1 o'clock hour today, but if you've been listening all week, if you listen to just how we're talking here, you can obviously get a feel of what direction, not only in the outcome, but just the kind of game we believe it's going to be. Let us know what some of your predictions are for the game as well. We love seeing those, 913-586-7965. But right now, it's time for the trash.
Trash of the day.
So this one takes us to the NFL honors. No, not the result of the awards. We've had our discussion about that. We'll get back to it. I'm talking about the monologue. I'm talking about some of the things that were said last night. So Snoop was hosting.
Okay.
Let's start with him. Monologue, which I'll admit, maybe one good zinger. Otherwise, it was kind of a weak monologue. It just was. The NFL honors, some of it was a little forced, but this was the moment everybody was talking about from Snoop.
Because I've been a football fan for a long, long time. I mean, I remember back when the Cowboys was good. I remember back when the Chiefs was bad. And I remember Bill Belichick's girlfriend wasn't even born yet.
So that was towards the end of the monologue. Belichick was sitting first or second row with his girlfriend is well documented. She's actually attending med school at Chapel Hill there in North Carolina, where we all know Belichick is that football coach now as well. Look, you got to expect these are the jokes that are going to happen, man, for her and for him. Like,
60
yeah. Both,
years
by the way, for both, like for her and for him, you just had to know this is what people are going to be saying, especially if you're a public individual the way they are. Did you see she was wearing one of his mini Super Bowl rings as well?
So.
You see the joke on that.
Well,
one.
Someone said,
is that the O2 ring for the year she was born?
When they first started dating, I saw the people that were making the joke from Big Daddy, which was, he's got a 5-year plan. What is it? Don't die? Because what? Dude, he's old. And he's
not that old, but
he's in his 70s.
Yeah, not in terms of the
I don't remember how old the guy was in that.
That guy was like Old Man River is what he joked or whatever.
Yeah.
What Adam Sandler did in the movie.
But
the jokes are gonna be there, like, you know.
Yeah, that's life.
She was she has to know, you know. Good for Bill. Good for Belichick.
As I told you that. Whole thing makes me feel very gross. I don't like any of it. It makes me feel very
icky.
It's
their thing. She knows what she's...
It makes me feel very icky, and I don't like it.
They're both adults. She knows what the whole relationship is about. He knows what it's about. It's their thing. It's uncomfortable.
I still can't believe he went back to college. You want to talk about... Normally, this is midlife crisis stuff. All of a sudden, he's just like, he's going back to college, dating 20-year-olds. What's going on, Bill? You had a pretty good NFL career.
He's enjoying his life.
You could just do Manning Cast and cash all your checks for the rest of life.
He's doing that as well.
Go to the beach.
He's doing that as well.
Just go to the beach.
Also, Justin Jefferson, the very talented wide receiver there in Minnesota, he was presenting an award and actually, or a tribute, I should say, towards Randy Moss, who we all know is publicly announced he's been battling very serious health matter, cancer, as a matter of fact. And he was talking about Randy Moss, but the teleprompter became an issue.
What's up? Playing wide receiver in the NFL is a dream job. But playing the position in Minnesota, it means something a little extra. Oh, I'm sorry. Because of the tradition and excellence we've got going on there, I'm the prompter. All right, that's good right there. We're going to start it over.
And then he, of course, repeats the same sentence again, and then everybody starts laughing. It was pretty funny. Look, the teleprompter went out on him. He's not a public speaker.
Yeah, he's not
a teleprompter went out. He's like, what am I supposed to do, guys? You know, this is scripted for me or whatever. Justin Jefferson, hell of a player, obviously was able to play along with it, too. You know, he played it well. It was a pretty funny moment, though. A lot of people said maybe him and Snoop had a moment or two before the show, you know what I'm saying? So, who knows? I thought he handled it well. He was obviously laughing about
it. NFL doesn't care about that anymore.
Nope, they don't.
So, life's all good
for that, I don't think.
Look, I mean, I know you don't smoke weed gold, but if Snoop's offering, I'm assuming you're in. Dude,
I've done gummies and stuff.
Not a chance.
It's like
not a chance.
You You wouldn't even do a gummy with Snoop Dogg.
Oh, a gummy, sure. But if you're smoking with Snoop Dogg, you're going toe-to-toe at that point. You're not lasting as
not
long as Snoop Dogg.
No, you're not going toe-to-toe.
No,
there is
he's
no,
convincing
there is.
You to go toe-to-toe until you pass out.
Well, I don't know if he's doing that.
I mean...
Snoop doesn't care.
This reminds me yesterday. So on Radio Row, where Fesco and Dusty are at, Emmett Smith was on Radio Row yesterday, and our Odyssey betting network, BetMGM network, one of their afternoon hosts for that show, had Emmett Smith on. And one of the hosts, kind of what you just asked me, one of the hosts was like, yeah, I don't drink that often, but Emmett Smith was there promoting a tequila.
Okay.
Which is normal. It's like what a lot of athletes will be on Radio Row for. And so he poured a little, you know, small pour. Okay, small pour.
Simple.
He gives him a glass or a cup. And I guess, I don't know. And then Emmett Smith goes, what else are you going to have a chance to take a shot with Emmett Smith? It's like, fair point.
I respect
fair point.
Answer.
And then the host, and it was Nick Costos, the host was like, well, what are you doing later on tonight? And he's like, not with you. It's fair. When else are you going to have a chance to say you had a shot with Emmett Smith? And I guess in your case, when else are you going to have a little smoke?
Yeah.
With Snoop.
Sometimes those things, they don't
That's
come up.
That's trash of the day. All right, up next as we continue broadcasting live from Rally House Oak Park. Come on by, get geared up for the big game on Sunday. Also enter to win a $250 gift card. Again, this is the location right off of 97th and Quivira across from Oak Park Mall. Up next, Chiefs Red Half Hour. We'll get back into all the implications with Sunday for individuals, for the franchise, for the city. Coming up next on the Red Front.
What is Dax, are you?
Tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker on all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all, so we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge, trucks up 3.9%.
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
Take me out to the ball game.
What are you doing?
Did you know DirecTV has the most MLB games?
So, you're singing?
Yeah, they put your favorite teams front and center right when you turn it on. Buy me some cold cuts and flapjacks.
Those aren't even the words.
I'm allergic to peanuts.
Stream DirecTV, home of the most MLB games. Visit DirecTV.com. Claim based on total games offered on national and regional sports networks. RSNs available with choice package or higher. Availability of RSNs varies by zip code and package.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Nerds!
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Making financial decisions shouldn't feel like filling out basketball brackets. Too many choices, too much noise, and no one wants a busted budget. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast cuts through the clutter. Their finance journalists break down real-world money decisions with clear, research-backed insights. From investing to home buying to credit cards, the nerds help you navigate major financial decisions with confidence. Make smarter financial plays today. No luck required. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome in to the Chiefs Red Half Hour. Every day at 11:30 with Cody and Gold on your new home for Chiefs football. 96.5, The Fan.
It is the Chiefs Red Half Hour. We're back here on Cody and Gold, Alex Gold, Cody Tapp, Drew Nixon with you on 96.5, The Fan. We're live at Rally House Oak Park today. It is the place to be leading up to Chiefs game day with Super Bowl 59 styles and the best gear in all the kingdom. There's something for every fan at Rally House. It's time to write history, and you need to be fan geared up with the best selection of Chiefs gear at Rally House. Shop 16 local KC locations and online at rallyhouse.com. You stop on in today before 2 o'clock while we're here. Register to win a $250 gift card. They also already announced that if the Chiefs win on Sunday night, they will reopen this store, and you'll be able to get those official locker room tees and some of the other stuff. And then, as you guys remember for all these years, as the week goes on next week, they will just get more and more merchandise.
New stuff and different
tumblers
stuff.
And yeah. Everything you can imagine. They already got a ton of the AFC Championship gear from a couple weeks ago as well. Still, if you're looking for one of the official locker room hats, obviously the official locker room long sleeve. I'm looking at some long sleeve. I got the hoodie last week from here. I came in here because this location's like 5 or 10 minutes from me. And they still have the long sleeve shirts over there as well. So come on in, say hello, get geared up for Sunday's game. I did see, and we'll get back to the NFL honors stuff and the controversy around the MVP voting versus All-Pro voting. Did you see that there was somebody that voted Joe Tooney Offensive Player of the Year?
Wait, for real?
Joe Tooney.
How far down the ballot?
Joe Tooney got, what is that, fourth place vote?
2 fourth place votes.
Uh-huh.
Joe Tooney.
I mean, there's a long list. There's, what was that, 15 names maybe that got Offensive Player of the Year, and Barkley won it.
And Jordan Mailata, who's had a great year for Philadelphia, I see on there.
Like, for example, the only play Joe Tooney was in front of these players who were also getting votes for some reason. Josh Jacobs, George Kittle, Baker, Amon-Ra, Penei Sewell, Kyren Williams, Jaden Daniels, Patrick Mahomes, and Jordan Mailata. The only players above Joe Tooney, you know, for Offensive Player of the Year were Jared Goff, Jahmyr Gibbs, Justin Jefferson, Josh Allen, Joe Burrow, Derrick Henry, Jamar Chase, and Lamar Jackson.
Here's the truth.
Saquon Barkley.
When they do the team awards, something that, like, you know, gets mentioned in passing.
The Chiefs team. Yeah,
the Chiefs team awards that get mentioned in passing, sometimes for us in a small segment, sometime in a What's Trending, Binkley's favorite day of the year other than the Super Bowl. Joe Tooney should be the team MVP. I think you can make a legitimate argument that Joe Tooney should be named this year's 2024-2025 Kansas City Chiefs MVP, because while they would have kept winning games, they are not getting to the Super Bowl unless he stabilizes left tackle the way that he did. Because of the injuries to DJ Humphries, the only other available option would have been to go back to Kingsley Suamataia or to go back to Wanye Morris, two plans that straight up weren't working.
Yeah, or if DJ Humphries would have, you know, whatever, you know. If that But you're right. I think you're right that there's a very good chance that he wins the team. And then as far as the team rookie of the year, that sure looks like that'll be Xavier Worthy.
I would say so.
So, yeah, that you're right. That'll come out.
The Mack Lee Hill Award winner.
Weeks from now. And that's always just a fun recognition for those guys. But I was looking at the Offensive Player of the Year stuff. It's kind of funny to.
Someone was like, damn, Joe Tooney's doing work. Get that man a vote.
Yeah, I mean,
I think when you're voting down at fourth or fifth spot, I don't really care who you vote for. Unless it's you're putting Lamar Jackson an MVP at fourth, then I do.
Yeah, that's the only thing. Of course, you guys can hit us up on the Jay Southland Tow Service text line, 913-586-7965. Somebody did text in and say, hey, you guys getting Dusty on the line later to discuss Drew spreading Bengals misinformation. Dusty's going to join us at 1:15. Right, Drew? You got that confirmed? 1:15 today?
Yeah, 1:15.
Dusty's going to call in from New Orleans. I'm sure we'll catch him in the middle of lunch or some drinks. I'm not sure. It's a Friday in New Orleans. I'd be enjoying myself as well. And we're going to ask him about the Who Day acknowledgement to Trey Hendrickson, which I think is something you just can't do. I just don't think you can do it. So we'll find out if Drew doctored the audio, because there's a lot of people that believe
audio. I'm telling you now, I did doctor it, but the whole situation still remains the same. He said, Who Day Nation, we respect you. The fact that he said the chant, he could have said he could have said the Cincinnati Bengals, we respect you guys. He didn't. He gave the chant, and he said the fan group, if you will.
We'll let Dusty defend himself. We give everyone on this show a chance to speak for themselves as well.
It was fun by me.
The audio was undoubtedly doctored, it turns out.
Yeah. I literally took the word nation out. He said, Who Day Nation, we respect you. That's all he said.
Why'd you cut out the nation part, though, you know?
Because it sounds better if you win. He said, Who Day? You know, it just sounds
all right,
better.
We'll talk to Dusty.
We'll ask Dusty.
In the 1 o'clock
hour. I still
think
it's questionable behavior from Dusty, but we'll see.
Our big game coverage on 96.5 The Fan is brought to you by Community America Credit Union. Member owned, open to all, invested in you. Join today at CommunityAmerica.com. Let's get back into what is actually at stake on Sunday. So many layers to this thing. It's the obvious, which is ultimate bragging rights, doing something that is never happened before in NFL history. Putting yourself, in my opinion, by winning on Sunday with the three-peat, I think you become the greatest dynasty, not only in the NFL, but you have a strong case to be the greatest dynasty in sports history. I gave you the reasons a week or so ago about football versus basketball, and winning dynasties and winning three in a row in basketball, I think, is not as the same level accomplishment as the NFL, given the fact that you can be off for a night or two in a best-of-seven series. If you're Mahomes, if you're Andy Reid, if you're anybody on the Chiefs, you can't be off for a game and still win a Super Bowl. Whereas in the NBA, you've got some time to recover in a series. So I think three-peating in the NFL would be far more impressive. That's the biggest thing going for the Chiefs, that they have that on the line. That's what their goal has been. They've been open about that. It wasn't to have a perfect season. That would have been cool, but that was never their goal. Their goal was to make history, and they, of course, are four quarters away from doing it.
In a lot of ways, I'm very glad they lost that Bills game, because I didn't need the three-peat pressure to go with the undefeated pressure. Would you have felt some need to start somebody in Week 18 against the Broncos, even though that would have been unnecessary? So I was glad that was put behind. Obviously, the three-peat. The thing no one has ever done in the Super Bowl era. I don't need one of you texting in being like, the Packers did it, when it wasn't even called that.
Bart Starr, pre-Super Bowl.
Different league and all the other stuff. In the Super Bowl era, and especially in the salary cap time when all that stuff changes too, nobody has been able to three-peat. But then just go line by line. All right, what can Andy Reid accomplish by doing this? Well, he can be a coach with four Super Bowl rings. That is a very, very, very small list. He can win, you know, he can be second, essentially, in NFL history to that. He can get closer to catching Bill Belichick for greatest coach of all time. Patrick Mahomes can be one of only five quarterbacks with four Super Bowl rings, right? Or four quarterbacks. Tom Brady's got the seven. Then it's Joe Montana with four, so he'll enter that category with the others. And Terry Bradshaw with four. So then he enters the category of like, okay, I'm one of four guys to do it. And he can get one step closer to Tom Brady and accomplish something he didn't. Like, those are the big three as far as, like,
no doubt,
what's on the line. It's team and those three. But, yeah, like, Chris Jones already in the Hall of Fame. Him stacking up another ring, it ain't going to change his Hall of Fame vote. He's getting in either way.
But as we saw last night, we didn't talk too much about the Hall of Fame class that came in yet. We can get to that later in the show. The way the criteria is laid out and the way the voting is going to go now, it's a little more challenging for them to have these classes get in, quote-unquote, on time, you know, where people view it that you're waiting too long. Four guys got in. Only three were modern day based off of the new voting criteria. So if you're
Eli
Chris Jones,
and
I'm fine with Eli not getting in year one. He'll get in eventually. But a guy like Darren Woodson still didn't get in. We bring this all back, going back to what you said about Chris Jones, though. Winning another ring, though, maybe it means he gets in sooner, whenever that day. We all agree he will be in the Hall of Fame, but maybe he gets in sooner. You know, and then it's just still for this city. Like, we both grew up here, and we've all talked over and over about, like, never could imagine they'd ever even be in this spot a couple years ago, let alone now and all that. But to think about, like, a city in the Midwest that I think is very evident with media coverage that happens on a yearly basis, and heck, this week with the way people are talking about the Chiefs and some of the comments that get said by folks in Philly compared to Kansas City.
All the flyover, whatever.
All of that. The fact that, there's a chance that the greatest dynasty in NFL history is going to be coming out of Kansas City. I don't know about you. I'm sure you feel the same way. That's, one, it's awesome. Two, that's pretty darn amazing. And in some ways, it's kind of a middle finger to a lot of people out there as well. Like, hey, this city, of course, is on the rise. A lot of it is because of sports. There's so many other things going on. The draft was here a couple years ago. We know some of the different initiatives that have been happening. The World Cup's going to be here in 2026. I think it all ties in with the Chiefs and everything. Yes, we're talking about the Chiefs three-peat, but all of this has happened during this run as well. And this, you know, it's kind of like, this would be the icing on the cake. Although, no matter what happens on Sunday, this is not over after Sunday. If they win, the run's not over. If they lose, the run's not over either. That's what's exciting about this. But this
There'll
can
be more
cement
chances.
Themselves
yeah.
in the history books forever.
I think it's tough because, like, you're right. And, like, it's a city, obviously, you and I are immensely proud of. And so as a result of that, anybody who wants to knock it is like, what maybe it was 20 years ago, or even whatever they've made of it in their head. This just feels like, no, you're going to be forced to learn about our city again. You mentioned in the franchise and the way that this works. With a win, the Kansas City Chiefs will have five Super Bowl trophies to their franchise's names. Here are the list of teams who have five or more Super Bowl trophies as a franchise. The Dallas Cowboys have five. The San Francisco 49ers have five. The Pittsburgh Steelers have six. And the New England Patriots have six. You are NFL royalty, by all accounts, with a win in this. There are teams with four. Packers and some of the other great organizations you already think of. But, like, Kansas City has a chance to not just be a three-peat champion, not just put a name to the city.
No, be the most decorated franchise ever.
They have a chance to be, yes, the NFL's preeminent franchise. And to be, yes, as you pointed out, the most decorated franchise ever. Because right now, the most decorated person ever isn't even a franchise. Tom Brady has more Super Bowl rings than any one franchise does.
Yes, yeah.
Which is nuts in its own right. And we can get to that probably as we continue to chase this thing. If Patrick Mahomes wins yet another one on Sunday, and he then has four rings. But, like, to be at five means you are one away from being the most decorated franchise in NFL history. And for a guy whose name is on one of the trophies for the leagues, like, you want to be known as one of those preeminent things. So, yeah, look, it feels like a lot. I know it's putting a lot on a game, and I don't hope
I agree with you about
it in that way. But, like, you know, it means a lot to win it.
I don't think you're wrong, though, for, like, you don't want to put too much on it. No, this is – I agree. I right before we went on the air, they were wrapping up Fesco and Dusty, their show, and Bob said it's the biggest game in Chiefs history, and I think he's right. It's not just because it's the next game. No, I think he's correct because of what we just got done outlining, every different layer to it, and three-peating. It is the biggest game. There's no doubt. There's absolutely no question it is. I don't know how you could argue against it being the biggest game in Chiefs history, considering all the historical implications and all the narratives that have also been out there this year around this franchise. And then, you know, there's the reality, too. Like, while the run is not going to be over no matter what happens, could it be the end of the road for someone like Travis Kelce? You know, this week we've heard his comments. And,
yeah,
you know,
is it
more or less less likely if he wins on Sunday? All that kind of stuff is on the line, too. You know, I don't know what result makes it more likely he comes back or not. None of us know but him.
Tough to say.
It's very tough to say. But there's just so many layers to this thing on Sunday. And, I mean, the fact that somebody – on this team that, as you laid out, the draft class of 2022, potentially could start their career with three straight Super Bowls as well.
Dude, like, half the roster's never even lost a playoff game.
Yeah.
I mean, dead serious. I mean, just think about it. Like, you have to draft a lot of players, so, like, doesn't matter if your name's Kingsley or Felix Anudike Uzama or Trent McDuffie or Karloftis or Watson. If you were drafted in the last 3 years, you do not, at this point, know what it's like to do it. Now, this is a big game. As you know, this is the sports betting holiday. It's not just the biggest football game every year. It also happens to be the biggest sports betting day of the year with billions of dollars.
Yeah, legally 1.4, I believe, is the estimate.
Which legally, illegally, billions of dollars probably placed there. I got some of the classic ones. You ready?
Okay.
I'm going to run through them. This was sent over by, some of these bets. You got an offshore book,
yeah,
if you will, on there. First off, just will John Batiste forget or omit a word during the national anthem? +900 versus -3,000. How many times do you practice?
I can't bet on no, though. It's -3,000. It's not even worth it. But no, he's not.
No, I
like the over, though. I like the over on his national anthem.
At 120, this one says 120 and a half seconds.
Yeah, I would take the over on that. But as you said, these are all offshore. You can't hop on FanDuel or whatever to make these kind of bets. I will say, though, I texted you in the group chat. Drew was in that as well. My guy on the Gatorade color.
What do you got?
Now, the odds shifted within 20 minutes.
Whew.
I've been told green, yellow, or lime, that's the category, even if it's the Chiefs. You're like, well, those are Eagles colors. I was told. The same guy that said purple the last 2 years. And
that was right.
Green, yellow, lime if the Chiefs win. If the Eagles win, I don't know. Maybe it's green, yellow, lime as well. But if it's the Chiefs win, I'm told.
Green, yellow, or lime.
He hasn't let me down for the last 2 years.
Mm.
Problem is, offshore markets, unless you're in Illinois and a few other states.
Shifted towards that?
It has shifted heavily towards that. Which also tells you it's probably...
Lots of people seem to have the Gatorade color knowledge. Well,
yeah,
if you can still get a good number on it.
When we ran through it yesterday, I think it was 7.5 to 1.
Yeah, it's not that anymore. Yeah, it's definitely not that anymore.
7.5 to 1 now.
So look, it doesn't mean that they can't change it, but that... Based on the track record, part of me is like, why would they switch it up? You've had purple two straight. It hasn't failed
yet.
Why? But, you know, and this is also requiring the Chiefs to win. If the Chiefs lose, I have no idea what the Eagles are planning.
All right, during the national anthem, who will be seen crying first?
All right.
During the national anthem, Chris Jones is -300. Hmm. Nick Sirianni +250.
Chris Jones.
First.
Well, because if anybody will cry, it's -500. If anybody will cry during the national anthem, it's -500.
Sirianni said he didn't think he was going to, or he didn't know if he was going to.
He won't do it again. So I think the question is somebody else other than Chris going to be shown? I'll go Chris Jones first.
I think so, too.
I think there's a chance Sirianni doesn't do that again, even though it's not like he did it on purpose. Like it's a natural emotional thing. It may just happen. I don't know. Is there another player on Philadelphia that ends up, or on the Chiefs, I guess, that ends up getting emotional?
How about this fun one? Will any scoring drive take less time than the total length of the national anthem? -300, yes. +200, no. So a score drive's got to take less than 2 minutes. Any scoring drive, field goal, touchdown, doesn't matter.
That's just not how these two teams play. And unless you believe
you said no is plus money?
+200.
I would say no, unless you believe, and this is coming from Kansas City angle, unless you think Saquon is taking a 60-yard one to the house, right? Because that could change it.
Or there's a turnover, like in
pick six on a three plays into the drive or something.
Or even if there's just a turnover, like if the first play's fumbled and the Chiefs get the ball at the 20-yard line and they score in two plays, then... Yeah,
I just don't think these are quick strike offenses. I would.
You take the
tend to
the
say
no.
The no. Yeah. Money? What about you?
I just feel like there's always like, I hate to say that because like there's 90 seconds to go and Mahomes has the ball.
Right.
Drives happen.
True, and that's probably why it's plus money for that very reason.
In fairness,
or before half.
If there's a scoop and score, does it count as a Chiefs drive? Because I don't think it does.
No. But if there's a fumble inside the red zone and then it only takes 90 seconds to score a touchdown
sure.
or 90 seconds to kick a field goal, it counts. What is, by the way, your guys' official guess for what song Kendrick does first? You know you can always bet on that. Humble's the favorite. I always feel like it's going to be because knowing Kendrick Lamar and he won't be afraid of like, oh, no, don't cuss too much. I feel like it's going to be Bitch Don't Kill My Vibe.
That's such a good song.
I feel like it is a great song.
So like,
that's my guess, Drew. My official guess on this show is Bitch Don't Kill My Vibe.
If I had to guess something other than Humble, which is the favorite right now.
Or Squabble Up, that one
was
Yeah,
Humble's the favorite. I go further down the board. Was it Mad City?
Okay.
I was about 9-1. I'm going to go DNA.
Okay, DNA.
I think Mad City will be it, but I'm going to guess DNA.
I've updated odds as of 3 o'clock yesterday.
Oh, excuse me?
Humble's +115. DNA's +210. Not Like Us is +210. Squabble Up is 4-1, and then Mad City's 9-1. The longest shot of all, and I don't know this song. You guys are more Kendrick Lamar people than me. All the Stars is 10-1.
That's the song with SZA, so he probably is performing.
That's not opening up, but you don't think he's opening?
Oh no, no, I highly doubt that.
All right, the last song,
Not Like Us,
Stars, of course, is the favorite. Not Like Us is second best odds.
He has to end. He has to end it.
Two or more Drake diss tracks -420. Three or more is +210. Also, will Kendrick Lamar wear a hoodie at halftime? Yes is -128. No is +102.
He's always in a hoodie.
Yeah.
So yes, you guys think he's wearing a hoodie?
I think so.
-128.
I mean, I'm supposed to assume that, right?
Cody's going to open up a Meet the Grams, and then he's going to end off with Not Like Us, and then he'll just end it.
I mean, he's got it. Not Like Us is somewhere in there. Come on.
There's no way that he does not do. I think there are Chiefs and Eagles players asked about this, and he said He said we're going to know when Not Like Us is being played though because it's going to feel louder in the locker room. Okay. I don't remember who said that, but it's going to feel.
Mad City will be my official first song.
It's a good guess.
That's where we'll go. Some good value there still.
Some good value in the first song. We should just do $5 between the three of us. And
problem is, these are offshore, I think. So.
Well, just between us, not like just.
Oh,
we each have to send each other $5 if we get the song right.
Gotcha.
If it's not the song, then nobody gets to choose Humble. But, you know, Mad City, Drew, what was the one you said you thought it was?
Well, I thought it was Mad City, too. But if I had to guess something that wasn't Gold's, I would say DNA. But
DNA? It's fun.
I do think it's going to be Mad City, though.
I'm very much looking forward to the halftime show.
Cody's going to
be up there with a mic saying along with him.
Depends on the game.
Yeah, I am, but it absolutely depends on the game. If it's like Tampa. I didn't care about, who was it, The Weeknd, whoever that was performing in that one?
That was that weirdo one, too, yeah. But you enjoyed Shakira. I was with you for the other three. You enjoyed Shakira and J-Lo.
The Chiefs weren't getting blown out at halftime. You know, like the Chiefs can be down at halftime.
In the stadium.
The Chiefs can be down at halftime. It's the fact that at halftime of the Bucks game, let's be honest, we knew that was over.
You prepared for a privileged sentence? My favorite Super Bowl halftime show, of which I've been in attendance.
Yeah, of the three I've been in attendance for.
Rihanna was mine.
That was good. It was hard to see from where we were at,
because the glass things.
Yeah.
Where she came out of the field and stuff, I thought it was cool.
I actually think Shakira and J-Lo, year one.
Okay.
Someone wants to know if there's proposal odds, Gold.
Offshore there are, yes. I got sent a whole list of
Taylor
89
Swift.
Taylor Swift props.
We can do those later.
Oh,
we'll go through all 89 coming up
next.
For the next 2 hours.
No, we will not do that, I promise. We are broadcasting live from Rally House Oak Park location, getting set for the big game on Sunday. Come on by. Register to win. a $250 gift card, which will go a long way when maybe Sunday night you got to come back by and get some Super Bowl gear and everything
right.
like that. So up next, we will get to what's trending and a question we asked Sean Barber yesterday. We're going to ask the same question. It has to do with going off the beaten path a bit, the most important players in this game. That's coming up next.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it. That's why I go for a 5-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or whenever my favorite team is playing late. 5-hour energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before tip-off.
Hey, I'm Josh Fink, owner of Knicks Menswear. Getting married? Don't rent some random suit. At Knicks, we help you own the look for about the same price as a rental. You're marrying the love of your life. Don't you deserve a suit that's yours forever? Knicks Menswear, your friend in style.
Street Easy knows former New Yorkers never stop talking about how much they miss living in NYC.
Life used to feel like a movie, but since we left and bought a house, it's like living in a DIY home repair video.
When it's time to buy, let Street Easy connect you with the right agent you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. Street Easy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
Low-carb keto yo-yo diets, GLP-1 injections, but you're never going to lose weight if your liver is clogged with fat. So what can you do? It's simple. Almased. Almased is a natural superfood protein shake that uses natural amino acids and bioactive peptides to help unclog your liver and optimize your metabolism so it's easier to lose weight. And it's been scientifically proven to preserve muscle mass. Join millions who have transformed their lives with Almased. Find out more and see the university studies at almased.com. That's almased.com.
Think warm. Think palm trees. Think baseball.
Hi, I'm MLB.com's Matt Monaghan. The long, dark freeze is over and spring training is finally here. If you're a baseball fan looking for a quick, easy way to get all the scores, top stories, and best sound bites from Florida and Arizona, you're in luck.
I don't think people realize how good we are. I don't even know if we realize how good.
The Morning Lineup Podcast, a short, less than 10-minute baseball highlight show, is available anywhere on any platform you listen to podcasts on. 5 days a week. We can't wait to meet you there.